Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're a part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Our text this morning is a short one. It's one verse that comes from Mark, the 7th chapter, verse 6. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He, meaning Jesus, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. By definition, a hypocrite is an insincere person, one who pretends to be what he or she is not, a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue and religion. In other words, a hypocrite is someone who does not practice what he or she preaches, but who actually does the opposite of what he or she preaches. You know, we live in a time when church attendance and involvement is at a very low point. It's certainly way below the point it was in the 50s, late 40s, and throughout the 50s. And when surveyed as to why they do not attend church or why they are no longer involved in church as they were, many replied that they often did not see Christ in those who claim to follow Him. Many skeptics wonder if Christianity is real, then why are there so many hypocrites in the church? Well, how do we as Christians answer that question? I'm sure you've encountered such an attitude when you tried to witness on occasion, and it may have been someone who caught you off guard with that response, and we need to formulate an answer to the question, if Christianity is real, then why are there so many hypocrites in the church? We answer that question by beginning to admit that there are hypocrites in the church. Yet the majority of the people in the church are real Christians. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, what does he mean by the term real Christian? Well, real Christians are forgiven sinners. If you were in Sunday school opening this morning, you know that Jimmy Brooks asked how many of us read bumper stickers. Well, one bumper sticker that I've seen reads, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. The Bible never claims that followers of Christ are perfect. It does state that those who surrender their lives to Jesus and walk with Him will be perfectly forgiven. But there is a difference between being a sinner and being a hypocrite. All hypocrites are sinners, but not all sinners are hypocrites. Many people assume that a Christian is someone who no longer sins. I dare say most of us, before we were saved, had that attitude or that framework in our mind when we looked at Christians. But nothing could be further from the truth. We read in 1 John 1:8-10, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him, meaning Jesus, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Christians sin. A hypocrite is the person who wears a mask and claims to be without sin. The real Christian is one who freely admits being a sinner. And the true followers of Christ still struggle with sin once they are saved, yet they recognize their sin and they seek forgiveness and they repent or turn away from such sin. Real Christians confess that they have sinned and admit sinning in a weakness in their life, but they ask for help from God and from God's people, and God welcomes such prayers and promises to help those who request his help in the battle against Satan, the enemy. The hypocrite, on the other hand, really does not struggle to overcome sin. He or she just tries to hide it. The hypocrite's attitude is, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to behave like a Christian. I'm going to sing the hymns. I'm going to pray the prayers. I am going to obey the rules. But when I get into the world, I'm going to behave as I want to. I'm going to behave like those in the world behave. The hypocrite attempts to live two different and separate lives simultaneously. There is a difference between committing a sin and living in sin. Living in sin is hypocritical. Committing a sin is not. Christians are not perfect. We are forgiven of our sins. It's interesting to note that when we come forward to be accepted as a follower of Christ, and to offer ourselves as a candidate for membership in a body of believers, that one of the requirements is admission of our sinfulness. The church is not a temple for super saints. It's a hospital for sick sinners who are seeking forgiveness and transformation. A second fact about real Christians: real Christians are not who they once were. You know, when a person looks at members of Ephesus Baptist Church or any body of believers and still sees sinners, they often fail to take into consideration how much we have changed with time. The transformation process from being a sinner and living in the world and of the world to being a Christian and a follower of Christ is not instantaneous. It's not like once we come and make a public profession of faith that there's a poof of smoke in the air and from there after, you know, there is no sin committed by that person. Outsiders may look at a Christian and say, well, a real Christian does not lose his or her temper or use profanity or struggle with alcohol or pornography or promiscuity or adultery and so forth. And it's true that our calling as Christians includes putting aside sins. Yet think how the situation would look differently if rather than focusing on how far people fall short of the mark, that we consider how far they have come. How much have you changed since you became a Christian? How much have you improved your attitude and your conduct over the years since you accepted Christ? How many of the sins of your past have you put behind you, even though you still sin? If any of us could look back in time at each other's lives, we would be able to clearly see how much progress has been made in our walk with Christ. The truth is, all of us are a work in progress. And even though we have a long way to go, we are not what we used to be. A third fact about real Christians is that real Christians are maturing into who God wishes them to be. As I said, real Christians are forgiven sinners who are growing in their walk with Jesus. They're changing each day and each week as time passes, yet there's more to the story than that. Real Christians will be transformed completely and will be made perfect. We know that when Jesus returns, we shall be instantaneously and radically changed. We shall be taken to a perfect place where we shall live eternity with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we wait for that glorious day, we strive to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our purification. Real Christians are committed to continuous divine housekeeping and house cleaning in our lives. And as the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our sins, He prompts us to confess it. And He also gives us the power and the courage to overcome it and to resist it. And as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this transformation in our lives, the character of Christ develops within us. Paul said, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." Being a Christian gives us hope because we know God is not finished with us yet. Can you imagine if just the minute that we walked down the aisle and confessed our sins and accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, God said, "Okay, you're on your own, buddy. You got to fight the devil as best you can. And good luck. I hope to see your name in the book of life." But it doesn't work like that, fortunately. Thank the Lord, He is with us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to give us comfort and peace and to give us the power to overcome the snares that Satan sets in front of us, to be able to withstand the temptations that our enemy brings. However, we are not what we used to be or who we used to be, but we are becoming who we shall be. While attempting to witness, as I said earlier, you may have encountered a person that said, "I'm not going to church. The church is full of hypocrites." Well, how about if you ask him or her this question? "Therefore, this means you're not going to the grocery store or to the movie or to the beauty salon or to sporting events, etc., because every place you go, there's going to be hypocrites there. So you're just going to stay at home and live in a bubble and exist like that." I don't think so. It's just an excuse for not coming and worshiping God. Everywhere we go, there are going to be people who are hypocritical, who hide behind a mask, who say one thing and do another, and pretend they aren't what they really are. And the question is, it may be true that they are hypocrites in church, but is this a valid reason for unbelief in Jesus and disobedience to His word? Does that justify us being disobedient to God's word and not studying His word and trying to live by His principles and His commands? Does that mean we can't believe in Jesus because they're hypocrites? But we must understand that Christianity does not stand or fall on the way that Christians have behaved throughout history and behave today. Christianity stands and falls on the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus was no hypocrite. Jesus consistently lived what he taught. He talked a talk and he walked a walk, and he is the only person, the only human to walk this earth who has ever done that. And no one to this day, as we've talked about before from this pulpit, no one, secular scholars, biblical scholars, scientists, physicists, whatever you want whoever you want to bring in to present evidence, not one has presented any evidence that Jesus was less than perfect as he walked this earth, and that Jesus did not rise from the dead. Now, if that's ever proven, you know, then the skeptics can say, aha, I told you. But you and I know it will never be proven. And they are using it as an excuse. Christianity stands and falls on the person of Jesus Christ. And whether people practice Christianity sincerely or not, the truth about Jesus is still the truth. It doesn't change the truth. Since you've become a Christian, I'm sure you have known persons who claim to be Christians but who were living in sin. And I wonder, has such hypocrisy of those people led you to proclaim that what Jesus teaches is untrue, that it's not valid? We cannot rightfully deny the truth simply because others do not practice it. Think about it. That just because somebody doesn't practice what the Bible teaches doesn't mean it's not true. Since we must not be discouraged by other people's failures to the point that we are unfaithful to God. You know, Jesus reserved some of his harshest comments for hypocrites. In Matthew 7, 3 through 5, this is what Jesus said. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, in Matthew chapter 23, it contains the seven woes that Jesus leveled at the Jewish religious leaders. And here is a sample, and here are three of them. Jesus said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Just in these three verses taken out of that 23rd chapter, we find important principles which can help us avoid being hypocritical, help us avoid hypocrisy. The first important principle is to focus on fixing yourself rather than others. Before we try to straighten out somebody else's house, let's get our house in order. Second principle is to focus on the internal as well as on the external. We should be concerned about inner righteousness as much as owed a righteousness. After all, God sees both internal as well as external thoughts and behavior. Yet it is also important that we get the inner correct, because it affects the outer. And if we do not master the inner righteousness, then we shall not master the external. A final principle to help us avoid hypocrisy is to be more concerned with what God thinks regarding our behavior rather than what people think. I've heard some of you say this before, and it's so true. We are to be God pleasers and not people pleasers. Sure, we want people to like us. We want to be popular, but not at the risk of offending God and not following His dictates. We talked about this in the Bible study. I wish all of you could have been there. We talked about that God's righteousness bar is up here, and by accepting sin in others, we lower the bar instead of requiring them to raise their standard of living. So we must be God pleasers and not people pleasers. You know, Jesus was very hard on the hypocrite, as well as He should be, but He always welcomed the repentant sinner. Jesus' gracious invitation is as follows. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Jesus is always available to receive those of us who are weary and brokenhearted and burdened. Even those of us who have been Christian for many years have experienced time when our guard was down and we fell into Satan's sinful trap. And it's not hypocrisy to fall into sin. It becomes hypocritical when we stop struggling against sin and decide to live in sin while pretending we are not. I think we need to praise God that we don't have to hide our sin. We can confess it, receive forgiveness, and receive assistance to overcome the temptation which sin brings. So this morning, if you're a Christian, you need to ask God to renew you, in the sense of opening, directing you to open your heart and mind more, to be receptive to the Holy Spirit, to convict you of your sin, and to receive the help that God can give. And if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, never made a public profession of your faith in Him, what a wonderful day to do that, to come forward and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me. Give me the strength to fight the temptations that Satan places in my way. And He'll do that. And the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus will be in your life, and they will be there to help you try not to sin. But we know that we are human and we may all sin, but certainly help us not to be hypocritical, not to pretend that we're not sinning when we're living the sinning lifestyle. We invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 134, Jesus Paid It All.